Morning. You hear me? It's snowing. What in the world? It was 80 degrees this week. It's supposed to be like 77 tomorrow. We wake up this morning, it's snowing. I'm like, what are you doing, God? Why? Why is it snowing? I've decided I'm going to use my computer this morning to try to be cool like Jay. He's always got his little techie stuff up here, but I printed my notes just in case, because I do not trust technology just in case, so bear with me for a second. So how's everybody doing? It's Palm Sunday today, right? It's an awesome day. This is the start of the Holy Week. When you were kids, maybe as you walked into church, this was the day that they gave you palm branches. This is the day that Jesus made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem over 2,000 years ago. It's the Sunday before Good Friday, which is when he was hung on the cross, and obviously the Sunday before Easter. It is I hope a week that you take some time to think through. I can't imagine. One of the things that I always want to encourage you guys to do is try to put yourself in the shoes of whoever you're reading about. Whenever you're in the Bible, try to really put yourself in that place, in that time. And so I always like to do that. And as we enter into Palm Sunday, and I think about Jesus riding in on that donkey and everybody praising his name, laying the palm branches down, and they really didn't know, as they were shouting Hosanna, they really didn't know what they were getting into. They really didn't know what they were saying. They really didn't know what this king was really about. And so as we get into this Easter season, just be mindful of it. Be mindful of what Jesus did for us this week. I can't imagine what was going through his mind, him knowing what bore in front of him as he was getting ready to pay the penalty for us. And then as we get to Good Friday and into Easter, I think I said, as I said last year, Easter is my absolute favorite holiday of all. It is supposed to be the start of spring. Obviously, today doesn't feel like that. But anyway, so today's Palm Sunday. If you have been with us at all this year, you know that what have we been in? We've been in Ephesians, right? It's Paul's letter to the Ephesians. The series is called Sit, Walk, Stand. We're learning where we are seated, what it means to walk, what it means to stand, standing against the enemy. And it's going to be a journey. If you're new here, just to let you know a little secret, we're going to be in Ephesians for a year and a half. And if you're like, huh? Yeah, I'm not kidding. We're in it for a year and a half. And why that may sound like a lot, we're already into week 7, or we're already through 7 weeks into it, and we're only in chapter 1 through verse 17. So if you're wondering how in the world we're doing that, I want to encourage you, please, maybe you've missed a couple weeks in here and there, go to the website. And by the way, the website has been totally revamped. You've heard Jason talk about it up here in announcements, but we're super excited for the new announcements. You can get on there. You can actually listen and see the messages being taught, which is a scary. I wish I wouldn't have said that, because now I just realized I remember I'm being filmed, not just recorded. So that's, I just threw up a little bit in my mouth. Anyway, it has been incredibly rich, and it's an amazingly deep book, and it's been awesome to hear Jay walk us through that. Obviously, Jay's not here today. Jay is in the Philippines. And again, for those of you who are new here, let me just say welcome. First, let me just say welcome. And then two, let me just let you know that I'm not the chief storyteller. I'm not the head pastor. I just get the privilege of teaching today. So it is the incredible weight that I stand up here before you today and try to tell you God's word. So the next 2 weeks, we're going to be taking a break from it. Next week is obviously Easter. Jay will be back. He's in Singapore right now, and he's on our way to the Philippines. If you don't know, we have the awesome privilege of getting to share Jay with the church in Singapore, and he's heavily involved in the missions over in the Philippines. So it is a really neat thing that we get to kind of see what is going, what God is doing on the other side of the world, how he is telling his story all over. And we get to be a part of that. And it's really, we get to be a part of that by sending people. We get to be a part of that by sending Jay, usually once a month, to go over there and teach and do all kinds of things through the Bukalo missions and through their tribe. And it is really neat to hear and see the stories of how God is changing the tribal villages there. And it's just really cool to be a part of that. So thank you, guys. Thank you for allowing him to be a part of that. It's really neat to, if you ever get a chance to go on a mission trip over there, I would encourage you to. It will open your eyes. We're actually not going to teach on Palm Sunday or what Palm Sunday is. As I was wrestling with what to teach, and I did wrestle a lot with it. In fact, I feel like Jacob. My hip hurts. My hip just hurts. It's not really from wrestling with God. My hip sometimes hurts. But that's what I felt like over the last week. My hip was hurting. I was like, golly, why am I wrestling so much with this message? And I started, as I was starting into my studies, I was like, it's Palm Sunday. I'll do a message on Palm Sunday. And so I started. And as I was going through it, I was like, man, this sounds familiar. And so I looked, and in my notes, it was like, holy cow, I was the one who taught last Palm Sunday. I don't know how that happened, because I only get to preach about two or three times a year, and it just so happened to fall on that. And I was like, awesome, I can just use my same message. I bet they won't even remember. And literally, that was the wicked thought that, like, that was my wicked heart. I was like, sweet, because I was really struggling. I decided not to do that, as I was kind of praying through it and wrestling with what God wanted me to talk to you guys about today. I was just constantly in prayer, and I was struggling with the fact of just hearing from him. And then it was an FCA football board meeting a couple weeks ago, and I heard a guy speak. He did a short devotion on not, you know, God not answering some of our prayers, and it was just became very evident as I was praying and as I was thinking through this that now would be a great time to talk about prayer. And prayer can sometimes feel very, what's the word I'm looking for? Not normal, but common, or we just feel very comfortable, I think, sometimes in our mind. We hear the word, oh, we're going to talk about prayer. I don't want you to turn it off. I just want you to know that I was really struggling with it. And I even told my kids, I was like, I am really struggling on where to take this. The first time I taught it was an hour and 45 minutes. And I've cut it down at least 5 minutes. So I'm just kidding. They told me, Dad, you always say that. And I was like, yeah, but I really mean it this time. But it's a familiar topic. But I just want to encourage you not to make it a familiar topic, to just listen to what God has to tell you about prayer. I feel like a lot of people really struggle with the different parts of prayer, with the different layers. They have questions about it. You know, does God really hear me? Does he really care about what I have to say? Why does it feel like he says no so often? And he does say no sometimes. Why is that? And finally, how do I even pray? So these are all questions that I think as believers and certainly as non-believers, I think that those are some of the things that we struggle with on a daily basis. And I know that at times in my walk that I've struggled with those things. And so it just became evident that this is like, God was like, this is where I want you to go. And it's a challenge to kind of put aside all the stuff that we think about prayer. And again, anytime you dive into God's Word, I just want to encourage you to put aside all that you think that you know, all the stories that you learned as a kid, and just ask God to show you Himself. So let's do that first. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're just in awe of Your goodness. We're in awe of just everything You do, the way that You love us, the people that You put in our lives, the way that You just continue to pursue us. We're thankful for all the things You're doing here in this church, all the things that You're doing in Your church in the Philippines and everywhere, Lord. We thank You for that. We get to be a part of that. We pray this morning that we know that there's people in all different spots in their walk. And so I just ask that You would just meet us wherever we are, God. Wherever we are, if we're doing well, if we're struggling, if we're just not sure, I pray that You would show up this morning and meet us. That You would reveal a little bit about Yourself to us this morning. And then at the end, that we would be drawn closer to You and that we would pursue You more. I ask that You speak through me clearly and that I would just get out of the way and let You speak. In Jesus' name, amen. So what does God say about prayer? Well, actually, it says a whole bunch. It felt like, as I was studying this, that there was a zillion verses on prayer. It was just like, oh, it was overwhelming, more than we could ever cover, obviously, in a Sunday morning. But prayer or praying is mentioned, just so you know, over 400 times in the Bible, depending on which translation you're using. One of my favorite verses on it is Philippians 4, 6 through 7. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So, has anyone just been in wonder? Have you guys ever been in wonder or awe or maybe even questioned, like, how can God even hear us? I mean, I think about that sometimes. Like, if we're really honest and we think about all the noise in the whole universe, like all the stars going around, and there's however many billions of people there are on the earth right now, and to think that He hears every word we say, every thought we think, every prayer that we do, how does He do that? How loud everything is in just this world alone is mind-blowing. I know for me, I can't even comprehend all the noise going on in my home. Like, at times it seems crazy, like everyone is talking and sometimes arguing, and there's constantly full-out soccer games going on and volleyball games going on in the house. And it's like, if you're walking, your head better be on a swivel or you're going to catch one in the teeth. And it's hard to, it's just hard to hear everything that's going on in our house. And usually those games continue until Natalie finally gets tired of them and puts them to a stop. She's like, "Stop!" And then so I have to go give her the ball back. And I'm like, "Come on, kids, let's go outside and play." Usually I'm the ringleader of that. But I'm like, why can't we play in the house? But anyway, it's just hard coming from our finite minds to understand the omniscience of God, to understand that we struggle with all this stuff going on, but God can. I mean, as Christians, we know that we're supposed to believe that, and we know that, and we say we do, but do we really believe it in our hearts? Do we really believe it in our guts that God truly hears us? It's truly amazing that He can hear our thoughts and know us, that He knows us so well. He knows every hair on our head. God is just aware of what is going on in the lives of His people. It's one of His character attributes. He's omnipresent. He is everywhere at the same time, all at once. David talks about a little bit in Psalm 8. And it blows him away. Even back then, he says, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, what is man that you are mindful of him, that the Son of Man that you care for him? So David's looking up at the stars, and he's looking up at the expanse of the stars. And back then, he doesn't even have nearly the knowing of how much is out there. But yet he's looking up there, and he's like, man, it blew his mind. That you would know me, that you would care for me, that you would listen to me, that you would be aware of me. I think it's just such a simple truth, and because we don't think very deeply anymore, or very often, we miss out on this really cool reality that the God of the universe, who created all things, is intimately aware of you. He's aware of you to where the point that he knows all the days of your life before it even begins. Again, he knows all the hairs on our head. He is aware of everything. He thinks about us. Some of you say, well, Jason, I'll give you the fact that I know he can hear me. Like, I understand God's God, and I understand that he can hear me. But I'm not sure that he wants to hear me. In our minds, I think that some of us believe that what we have to say or ask is insignificant. So we hesitate to ask. The God of the universe has better things to do than to talk with me. I know he hears me, but does he really care? My problems seem so small compared to what he has to deal with. You know, I'm just struggling with feeling lonely. Or, I just lost my job. That seems so insignificant when you think about he's keeping the universe afloat. Let's see what he says about it. In Matthew 11:28, it says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jeremiah 24:7 says, I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They will be my people, and I will be their God. For they will return to me with all your heart, with all their heart. God is, he desperately wants us to come to him. There are no problems too insignificant. There are things that we're going through too small that he doesn't want us to bring forward to him. There's a ton more verses. As I said before, we're not going to be able to talk about all the verses that pertain to each and different point that we're going to make. But, you know, sometimes I think as a father, you know, as a dad, I think about how much I love the conversations I get to have with my own kids. Not the one-word answers like, good, great, I'm okay. Not that, but like whenever we get in a really good conversation, like I love those. And I know as moms and dads, we can all relate to the fact that we love to be in relationship with our kids. And God is no different. In fact, God is even much more longing for that than we are. In Matthew 7:7-11, it says, just to kind of explain how much better God is at this than we, it says, ask and I will be given to you. Seek and you will find it. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Or which one of you, if his sons ask him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks you for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? God is so much better. He's so much more of an awesome dad than I am, than we are. The truth is, we have a Father that longs to hear our voice. He created the heavens and the earth so that we could worship him and be in relationship with him. He longs for us to come before him, and verse after verse tells us his heart. So once we know that he hears our prayers and that he wants to hear our prayers, the next question I think that people struggle about, well, you know, if that's true, hears our prayers and he wants to hear our prayers, then why does he tell us no so often? Right? Does it feel like sometimes he tells us no an awful lot? Well, first off, I believe that he answers yes far more often than we think he does. And there's a couple reasons that I don't think we see it. The first one is probably because of our sinful nature. We're really quick to give credit where credit isn't due or where it doesn't belong. I'll give you an example. So I'm really familiar, similar to my dad in a lot of ways. But I'm really different when it comes to being handy. Like, there's two types of men in this world, guys who build stuff and guys who pay people to build stuff, and I'm one of the latter. And my dad, he knows how to do anything. Like, he built one of the first houses we lived in. I remember he built a dock. He just helped my in-laws redo their kitchen, and he's just really good at that. And I'm not. Like, the only thing I'm really good at is if you gave me a sledgehammer, I'm really good at demo. Like, I can do that, but if you give me a tool that requires skill, you do not want to do that. It won't go well. So the thing is, here's what does not happen. I don't go to my dad and stand in front of the kitchen that he just redid and say, "Man, Dad, can I see your trowel? Like, that thing is awesome. That trowel did this?" Or I've never looked in his toolbox and been like, "Man, Dad, your hammer is amazing. Like, man, if I had one of those, I could, you know." Like, I'm giving praise to the wrong thing. I'm not giving praise. I'm giving praise to the tool as to the thing that the tool is being used by. And that's what we do. That's just not how it works. We'll ask God to do things, and he does these things through appointed means, through skilled tools. Instead of giving him the credit, we give the credit to others. So he answers yes, but we don't see it as a yes. We go in for surgery, and we give all the credit to the doctor or the drug that we took that helped heal us. We think we're lucky despite the fact that, luck is for pagans. I don't know that we really believe in luck. Have you ever prayed for someone to be healed from a sickness or an injury, or come to find out they were misdiagnosed, right? Like, the injury ended up being something a lot less serious, or the sickness ended up being something that was a lot less significant. We immediately downplay the initial diagnosis. Like, is it just coincidence? Like, really, did God answer a prayer? He answers yes far more than we realize. Secondly, I don't think that we keep a very good track of what we're asking for. We ask him for safe travels, and we get home safe. We ask for our children to be in healthy relationships, and they're in healthy relationships. We ask him to provide. We have a home. We have food. We have clothes. There are things that we don't even ask for that are just amazing mercies that we take for granted. Being able to see and to walk and to stand and to speak. We just don't see how many times he really says yes. So we end up being like, it's kind of like our children. You ever had your kids get a ton of stuff for Christmas and they didn't get their Red Ryder BB gun, so they're pouting. I mean, that's kind of how we are. Like, we get all this stuff, but there's one thing that we miss out on, and we pout, or we feel like God's not listening to us because he didn't answer that one prayer. The real truth is, though, that God really does tell us no sometimes. Just because he is able, he is not obligated. Sometimes it has everything to do with our hearts, and we're going to break this down into a couple different things. There's actually, because I feel like it's in a couple different categories, but there's four things, there's four surefire ways to have God not answer our prayers that have to do with us. And the first one, and we don't like to talk about this, and I hadn't really heard this taught too much, but the first one is that sometimes we get told no because of our lack of disobedience. or because of our lack of obedience, because we're disobedient. In John 9:31, it says, "We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will." Proverbs 15:29 says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous." John 15:7 says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." So then he moves on in John and says, "If my words abide in you, if you hear me and you obey me, ask whatever you wish and it will be granted to you." So what happens? Where there is abiding, where there is obedience, there's graciousness and blessing. Where there's rebellion, God's not very apt to say yes a lot. He's just not. When we're not being obedient, there's an opportunity for him to say no. If you're bitter, if you're unforgiving, if you're resentful, jealous, proud, don't expect to hear a lot of yeses from him. We're not being obedient to God. The second one is that our requests are not consistent with his word. They aren't in line with his word. James 4:3 says, "When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." And there's all kinds of examples of this, but I recently just had one. I just had a, last week, I had a buddy that I hadn't seen in a while, and he came up to me and said, "I don't know if you heard, but my wife and I, we just got separated, and, you know, I just kind of seeing this other gal, and I just kind of fell out of love with my wife, and I'm moving out, and I just ask you to pray that it'd be a clean break, and that it would, you know, that I could just kind of move on, and things would go well, and I'm really in love with this new gal." And I was like, "No, I didn't say this. This is what I should have said. This, I don't really know him that well, but I was like, no, like I'm not going to pray that. Like, this is not in line with what God's will is. That's not in line with what, or not what his word says." In 1 Peter, it says, 1 Peter 3:7, it says, "Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers." And just so you ladies don't get upset about that, the weaker vessel literally means porcelain. Don't treat your wife like one of the boys. Live considerately with your wife. Treat her like this. Cherish your wife. That's what he's saying. So that your prayers may not be hindered. If you're inconsiderate with or wrong with your wife, you're going to hinder your prayers. If you step out of obedience, you're going to hinder your prayers. Five verses later, he says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." So are you putting these things together? He says, be obedient in how I've charged you to walk with love and encourage your wife. And don't rebel against them, or my face will be against you. He's saying, my face is towards, my ears are towards the righteous, my ear is attentive to their cries, but my face is against the wicked, those who would rebel against me. Like, to my buddy, I'm like, man, what I want to pray is that you will be broken, that you will repent, that you will do everything you can. And at the end, it may not, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, but you can't just walk away. Like, that's not in God. I'm not going to pray that. That's not in God's will. That's not in his word. There was, you know, the other part about it was that there was no really grounds for that. It was just a feeling. It was just crazy to me. But that's what we do. Sometimes we ask God for things that are not in line with his word. And if we're not in his word, how are we going to know what is in line with his word? So I think that's a big one. So our requests are inconsistent with his word and our lack of obedience. The third one is because of our lack of faith. James 1, 6 through 8, it says, "But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do." So, if we lack faith, like we can't come before God wanting him to answer prayer, but we don't really believe that he's going to do it. Like we're asking for God, "Hey God, would you heal my mom? But you don't really believe that he's going to. He wants us to come boldly. He wants us to come confidently in front of him and to him that he's going to do that. Now that doesn't mean that just because we do that, just because it's not this, you know, name it and claim it, if I just have enough faith that he's going to, we're going to get to that here in a second, it doesn't mean that he's going to necessarily answer that, but he's surely not going to answer that if we don't have faith that he will. The fourth one is that our requests aren't in line with his will. So we talked about his requests aren't in line with his word, but sometimes our requests aren't in line with his will, which is a little bit different. So do you guys tell your kids no sometimes? Kids, you guys love to hear no, right? I know my kids love whenever I tell them no. And I tell them no a lot. Why? Because I love them, right? We tell our kids no because we love them. We know oftentimes what is better for them. They can't see, they don't understand, but I know what's best for them, and I'm not going to say yes because I love them. And God does the exact same thing with us. But for some reason, we've got this unfounded idea that God's character, that it's not in God's character to tell us no. Just like any loving parent, at times he's going to tell us no because he loves us. Now, does he always tell us no? Obviously not. Like, I love the story. I love the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And this isn't a story of when God says no, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're worshiping God. King Nebuchadnezzar makes a decree that everybody has to worship him, worship the king, and they're not going to do it. They're not going to bow down. He says anybody who doesn't, they're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. He brings those three forward. He's like, "You're going to do it." They're like, "No, we're not." If you read in Daniel 3, 16 through 18, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve will be able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from it. But even if he does not, we want you to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of the gold you have set up. I know God can, I believe he will, but even if he doesn't, even if it's not in his will." And that's the faith, that's the type of understanding of God's character and God's word that we need to come before him or any other thing that we are facing, that I know he can, I believe he will, and even if he doesn't, I'm going to trust him and love him. Because the reality is that he understands a lot better than we do. He's a loving father that knows when to say no. You know, there's the old Garth Brooks song that says, "Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers." You guys all, I'm not even going to try to sing it. People in church don't even want to sit in front of me because I'm such a bad singer. But, right, it's "Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers." In the song, he goes to a football game at his old high school, sees a girl that he thought he was in love with, that he wanted to marry, and he's like, "Ugh." Like, he realizes he's grateful he didn't, right? And it's all said and done. Even this country star is saying, we shouldn't always get what we want in the moment. There's things in this world that seem like they're a must. They seem like there's this thing that we really have to have, but in the end, we didn't need them really at all. But in that moment, we want it so bad, we feel betrayed when we don't get it. And yet, years later, we go back and go, man, thank God that didn't happen. And I think about some of the girls I dated, and I just threw up in my mouth a little bit. I'm like, God had, that was mean, I shouldn't have said that. But I'm just thinking about how much better of a plan God had for my life. And I'm not just saying that because she's sitting over there. Like, she's awesome. But it's true. We don't know what God's plan is for us. We don't understand everything. We are not omniscient. And here's what I'm... There's two things that I want to make clear that I'm not saying here. I want to make sure you know that I'm not saying that you have to be perfect for God to hear your prayers. Even when Jesus is teaching the disciples to pray, he says, and forgive us our trespasses, our sins, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Jesus is acknowledging you're going to fall short, right? So you don't have to be perfect. You just have to be pursuing him. In John 9:31, it does a phenomenal, I love this verse. It says, we know that God does not listen to sinners. Are any sinners in here? Right? Like, so the Bible just gave us some really bad news. Like, God doesn't listen to sinners. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. So we know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God, a pursuer of God, he hears him. We're not perfect, we're just pursuing him. And the Bible says, in that place, God hears. You don't have to be perfect for him to hear your prayers, but we do have to be pursuing him. If we had to be perfect, right, he wouldn't hear any of our prayers. But because of the cross and because of the grace of God, we're actually told in scriptures to boldly approach the throne of grace with confidence. We're to pray with confidence, pursue with confidence, and chase with confidence. So I'm not saying, again, right, we don't have to be perfect. The other thing I'm saying, I want to be clear, and we touched on it just for a second, is that God's not a slot machine or an ATM machine, right? Like, we don't just get to do these things. Like, I don't just get to be obedient. And I don't just get to believe really well, and he's going to make something happen. That's not how it works. God isn't a genie in a lamp. Correct? Everybody is comfortable with the statement, God is in control. Right? We see it on coffee cups. We see it on bumper stickers. And the theological term for that is, the big word is sovereign. God is sovereign. God is sovereign is just this it's a warm blanket to anybody's soul, regardless of the circumstance, because here's really all that it means. God knows well beyond what we can know. He sees well beyond what we can see, and he understands things that we, on our best day, can't even begin to imagine. And through his goodness and through his sovereignty, he governs. He rules. So sometimes you're going to get told no, because what's most glorious to God and what's best for you is to hear no. And I feel like most of us probably understand that at some level. Like that's good news, right? And that's easy to kind of digest. But sometimes... sometimes he says no, and there's no lack of obedience. Our requests are properly motivated, and they are consistent with his word. That means that we don't always have an answer for the why. And that's the truth. Sometimes we just don't know. But we trust that even in the darkest of days, that God is good. He's loving. He's at work to redeem and reconcile all things unto himself. So the righteous live by faith in the face of tragedy. We live by faith in the face of loss. We live by faith in the face of devastation and struggles. We live by faith. That means that we can't really explain it. We just know that God is good and that God is accomplishing what is good in the pain. Now, does that make it easy? No. It doesn't really make you feel all warm and fuzzy. That doesn't make it go away. You know, the world is full of troubles. And if you don't know that, you just haven't lived very long. Loss happens, sickness happens, disease happens, loneliness occurs, depression creeps in, despair happens, people die, on and on and on. We just keep going. The world is full of pain. But the question that we've got to understand, or the place that we have got to land, the question that you've got to answer is that, do I believe that God is good? Do I believe that God is good in the midst of all this stuff that's going on, all this brokenness, all this stuff, when there is no explanation for what happens? You know, there's some bad things that we can kind of explain away. We live in a broken world, and you know, there's these churchy answers, but sometimes we just land in a place where we're broken, and those things don't feel very good. But what we choose to believe about God and his character, if he's good, if I believe that God is good, then it allows us to get to a spot where we rest in him. It allows us to get to a spot where we can keep on going, where we can not put that thing behind us, but that we can learn from it, that we can grow from it, that we can hopefully draw closer to him from it. And probably, at some point, he's going to give you the opportunity to bring somebody else alongside of you that is going through the same thing that you've gone through or that you're going through. There's lots of different reasons that, and I don't pretend to even begin to understand all of the reasons why he allows us to do those things, but the reality is he does. But the reality is he's good, and he loves us, and he longs for us. Some of you in this room are like, well, I get all that. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but the reality is I don't even know how to pray. I don't even know. Some of you may be in a spot where you don't even really know what that means. Like every time you pray, you fall asleep, or every time you pray, you know, you're just not sure what to pray for, or you hear certain people pray and it sounds really good. And you get those people that pray and they just sound really godly. I just want to explain to you that God doesn't care about that. He cares about your heart. When we come before him, try to get my kids to understand this, that, you know, God is serious about prayer. And that doesn't mean we can't have fun. That doesn't mean that we can even laugh and in prayer and know that we're having a good time. But at the same time, we're coming before the creator of the universe, and there's a seriousness that we need to understand that we are coming, as we pray, that we are coming into the presence of the creator of the universe. The all-knowing God, the God that loves us, and he demands our respect. So as we come before him in prayer, it's not about the words. It's all about the heart. And so I feel like the best way to understand how to pray is to just do it. Like, I'm kind of old school like that. Like, you just got to practice to get good at stuff, right? Like, the more we pray, the better we'll get at, the better we'll get at hearing his voice. The more you understand Scripture, and Scripture, just so you know, Scripture is a great way to pray, to take God's word and to speak it back to him. When we do that, we end up obviously being in line with his will, being in line with his word. And it's amazing how he answers our prayers as we pray those things through Scripture. Well, how often do we pray? Well, you know, should we pray it before we eat? You know, I mean, that's there. You know, before we eat, before we go to bed, well, now those are good times to start. Like, if you're not doing it, start there. But the reality is that he says to pray all the time. Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Does that mean, well, gosh, I got a job, I can't just pray all the time? That's not what he means, right? He's just saying, as we're driving down the road, as we're having a tough conversation, as you're in an argument with your spouse, this is a good time to pray. Stop before you speak and pray. I do that all the time. I've gotten way better at that. Pray all the time. You know, Jesus actually gives us a model, and it can kind of feel, it's the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, 9 through 13 says, this then is how you should pray. This is Jesus talking. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from either one. So he's given us an outline. Like, he's not saying you need to pray this every time you pray, right? He's given us an outline. And there's a whole, we could do a whole sermon on just breaking that down. But what he's saying is that, you know, praise me. Be thankful. Come before me and thank me for things. Understand that I'm holy. And then ask for stuff. Ask to be forgiven. Make your requests known to me. That's all he's saying. He's saying that there's a rhythm to this praying that, you know, try to acknowledge my goodness, and then I'm more likely to hear your prayers. But honestly, there is no magic. There is no magic as it comes to praying. There is no obviously secret words or awesome words you can say. It's all about your heart. I want to encourage you guys as couples, if you're not, and this is just as much to us, but I want to encourage you guys as couples to pray together. Pray once together. Pray before you go to bed if you can. But make it a point to pray together. And I know sometimes that feels weird or it feels hard to do. It is hard to do. We've tried it several times, and I'll just be very honest. We are awful at it. We'll pray with our kids, but the two of us, and we pray ourselves and we pray for each other, but praying together, we're just not very good at it. But if you will, you know, there's the old saying, kind of the couple that prays together stays together, but the reality is that there's some truth in that. We usually end, hey, how do we usually end? We usually end breaking it down, break. I want to end a little different today. And hopefully they'll ask me not to come back up here and speak. Maybe they'll kick me out. And hopefully I won't have to do this again. I'm just kidding. What I'd like to do is just, as a family, or if you're by yourself, or if you're a couple, let's just take the next 2 to 5 minutes and pray together. You can just, as you get done praying, you can just kind of leave. We won't have a formal goodbye. But let's just take some time and pray together as a family. If you're here by yourself, feel free to pray by yourself. If you don't want to pray by yourself and you want to jump in with a group, you're welcome to jump in with us. Like it didn't matter. Like we're all a little weird here. So if you want to jump in with anybody, jump in with somebody. But I just encourage you to... let's just bow our heads for the next 2 to 5 minutes and talk with God. Sound good? I'll start us up here and then you guys can finish us. Dear Father in heaven, we're just in awe of your goodness. We just thank you for the opportunity that we even get to come before you. The fact that you are the God of the universe and you want to hear from us and you do hear from us is just, it's a mind-blowing. I can't even wrap my mind around that, God. I just want to say thank you for that. Thank you that you think about me. Thank you that you love me, that you love us. I just pray for this church that we would pursue you in everything that we do. I pray that the people of this church would pursue you in everything that we do. I pray that we wouldn't be, that we wouldn't listen to the lies of the enemy, that we would know that we can approach you, that we can speak to you at any time and at all times about all things, and that you want to hear from us. I just pray that our relationship with you would just sprout forth this day like it has not never before, that we would not be afraid to pray all the time, seeking you out. We love you so much, God. We're so thankful for your son, Jesus. As we come into Easter, we're just reminded of how much you love us, that you sent your one and only son so that we wouldn't have to be there, and so that we could spend eternity with you. Words can't describe how thankful we are. In Jesus' name, amen. Just encourage you guys to pray as you feel led.